Hello, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and full year 2013 earnings call. I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to be on our call today, and we are looking forward to walking you through the results. Similar to last time, we will be recording this call and we'll post it to our website for easy access by everyone. You know, despite the macroeconomic environment, we continue to see strong consumer demand in our stores. We delivered a terrific fourth quarter, and we continue to maintain a very positive outlook for 2014. With our strong top-line sales growth and earnings growth, we once again outperformed the other major players in the market and increased our market share. I am also pleased to announce we opened 4 new stores in the fourth quarter, which gives us 9 for the year and 125 stores in total for 2013. Now I will turn it over to Richard, who will go into the results in more detail.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. Similar to our Q3 call, at 4 o'clock Jakarta time today, we posted 3 announcements to the IDX and to our website. Our full year audited financial statements, summary slides for our fourth quarter and full year results that we'll talk through today, and a brief press release. I'll be talking you through the earnings slides, which will take probably around 15 to 20 minutes, and then Mike and I will have a Q&A session afterwards. If you have any questions after the call, once you have reviewed the detailed financial statement, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, ir@matahari.co.id. I'll now run through an overview of our results, referencing the summary slides that we posted to the website, so you can follow along on the call. Let's start off and turn to page 4. As Mike said, consumer demand in our middle income segment continues to be strong. And in fact, Indonesia has one of the highest consumer confidence levels in the world. Actually, in January, it increased further to 116.7 from a low in September of 107.1. Our fourth quarter showed a particularly strong performance. Our net income was up 77.8%. Our total gross sales were up 18.1%. Our comp store growth accelerated to 13.3%, and we delivered a very strong gross margin performance, which we believe actually represents an opportunity in 2014. As Mike said, we also opened 4 new stores, which gave us 9 stores for the year and 125 stores in total at the end of 2013. Now I'll run through the highlights of the full year, 2013. Turning to page 6, later in the presentation I'll specifically cover Q4. But overall for 2013, our net income increased by 49.2% to 1,150 billion rupiah, or 9% of gross sales. Our total gross sales came in at 12,735 billion rupiah, which was 17.2% over 2012. Our comp store sales growth for the full year was 12.1%, and our merchandise gross margin improved 20 basis points over 2012. Our adjusted EBITDA was 15.2% over last year, at 16.5% of gross sales, 20 basis points lower than last year. If you look at page 7, you can see the growth in our major headings laid out in a simple form, and you can see that for the full year, as mentioned, gross sales are up 17.2% to 12,735 billion rupiah. And adjusted EBITDA was up 15.2% to 2,096 billion rupiah. And net income on the right-hand side there, you can see, as mentioned, was 49.2% or 1,150 billion rupiah. Our net income improved on strong sales and EBITDA performances, lower interest expense, and a lower base tax rate of 20%. In terms of sales, we saw continued growth across all of our merchandise categories, with particular strength continuing in our exclusive brands. In fact, for the full year of 2013, direct purchase represented 32% of our business, compared to last year at 29.2%. If you look at page 9, you can see that we opened 9 new stores in 2013, as Mike mentioned earlier. We had a total of 807,663 square meters at the end of 2013, an increase of 57,639 square meters, or 7.7%, from the 750,024 square meters that we had at the end of 2012. Of the 9 stores that we opened in 2013, 5 are in new cities, 8 are on a fixed or step-up rent basis, and 1 is in a group-related property. If you look at page 10, you can see our current store pipeline, which remains strong. The chart shows the split of our existing stores, with 37% now outside of Java, and also shows the pipeline of future stores, with more than half outside of Java. You know, as we look at 2014, you know, next year we're targeting 15 new stores. However, if we were to give you a range, it would be 10 to 15 stores. And any downside would likely be a result of the current interest rate environment, and we'll obviously keep you updated each quarter. In addition to those 15 stores, however, we have also targeted a number of store expansions for 2014, including, as an example, a 7,400 square meter expansion to our Arthur Gadding store, which is the equivalent of more than one additional store in space terms on its own. Also, our average store size for 2014 is around 5 to 10% larger than the average last year. Moving on to page 12, we have broken out our Q4 results. This shows our Q4 sales growth, and you can see the acceleration here. The Q4 sales increased 18.1% compared to last year, and that's what brought the full year increase to 17.2%. Page 13 shows our comp store performance. Comp sales performance accelerated 13.3% in Q4 2013, bringing the total year to 12.1%, which exceeded last year's 11.1%. You know, what's interesting is, you know, when we review the breakdown of our 2013 same-store sales increase of 12.1%, we can see that unit volume is contributing 6.3%, and the increase in average unit retail is contributing approximately 5.4%. So that leaves us, again, in a very strong position. On page 14, you can see that, as anticipated, we did see OPEX pressure, coming mainly from minimum wage and electricity tariff increases, but also, to a smaller extent, in additional staffing that we brought on to better support our strong DP business, which we staff ourselves, as you know. In 2014, we anticipate significantly less pressure. The minimum wage for us in 2014 came out to be a 15.9% increase versus, in 2013, almost 30%. On page 15, you can see our adjusted EBITDA. In Q4, we achieved an EBITDA of 493 billion rupiah, which was a significant improvement over last year's Q4, and that brought our total EBITDA to $2,096 billion, or 16.5% of sales. Turning to page 16, you can see that in the quarter, our net income grew by 77.8%, which gave us a full year increase of 49.2%. And as I mentioned before, came in at 1,150 billion rupiah. On page 17, we have a chart that shows our total debt reducing from 2,959 billion rupiah at the end of 2012 to 1,596 billion as of December 2013, and to 1,496 billion rupiah as at January 30th, 2014. On December 30th, 2013, we made a prepayment of 300 billion and also made an additional debt prepayment of 100 billion on January 30th, 2014. And we do plan on continuing with our strategy of accelerated debt paydown for 2014. You'll also see that our effective interest rate declined to 11.6% despite the rise in BI rate, and this was driven by the full year benefit of the refinancing that we carried out in 2012. The chart on page 18 shows the growth we had over the chain in Q4 and 2013. As you can see, we had strong total and comp sales growth across the region. Outside of Java, also posted double-digit gains in the quarter, although the slightly lower comps are primarily as a result of some new stores added into some existing strategic markets, such as Ambon and Kandari. I won't go into this line by line, but on slide 19, it summarizes our financial performance by quarter and for the full year 2013 compared to last year's full year results in 2012. So in summary, on page 21, we continue to see growth in sales and earnings and strong consumer demand despite the macroeconomic environment that we talked about earlier. We have a positive outlook for the current year, i.e. 2014. Our accelerated debt prepayment program was in line with the guidance in the OC, and as I mentioned, is planned to continue in 2014. And our new store pipeline continues to be strong, which provides, again, a positive backdrop to our store growth plans going forward. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to us today, and now we will open it up to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star then two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Our first question comes from the line of
Reggie. Hi, Mike and Richard. Hi, this is Reggie from Deutsche Bank. Congratulations on the very strong results in 2013, especially the very good fourth quarter results where we saw same-store sales accelerating. I know you gave the figures for 2013, but for the fourth quarter same-store sale numbers, could you give us the breakdown in terms of the unit volume and the AUR? My second question would be on the loyalty card program. Could you perhaps give an update on the year-end number of members for that program? And also the last question is also another housekeeping question. In terms of the space, could you give us a year-end space update? in terms of square meters? Thank you very much.
Sure. So let's start off with looking at the Q4 metric. If you look at Q4 on its own, you'll see actually there was a slight uptick in the company's average unit retail. And in Q4, average unit retail accounted for 7.1% of the total comp in the quarter. And from the unit perspective, the total unit comp was up 5.8%. As it relates to MCC, we ended the year with a total number of active members of about 2.7 million, and the penetration to total that MCC members represented in terms of their purchases was 48.7%. And our MCC, rupees per transaction, continues to be significantly higher than our non-card transaction. As it relates to total space, we've finished. We've got a quick look. Oh, at the end of 2013, we finished with 807,663 square meters, and that reflects an increase of 57,639.
Great, thanks. Maybe just one last question for me. A lot of consumer companies have given us feedback that January and February has been a bit challenging because of the flooding and how that relates to the distribution of their products. Could you maybe just give color on what impact, if any, the flooding has had on Matahari? Thank you.
Yeah. So obviously, like you said, there was a certain amount of flooding in Jakarta in January. We've analyzed it and compared it to last year. And, basically the flooding in January was not quite as bad as it was last year from a financial standpoint.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of
Vincent. Hello.
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 Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, this is Vincent from Goldman Sachs. Just two questions here. Firstly, can we have more details in terms of the locations of the new stores to be opened in 2014 and 15? Are they on schedule to open as planned? And the second question is that beyond 2015, what would be the number, sustainable number of new stores to be opened per annum?
Actually, we're not able to provide you with the specific locations of our 2014 and 2015 stores. As you'll probably appreciate, we don't have all of the MOUs completed yet for 2014. So we obviously want to keep our strength in terms of a negotiating position.
Yep. Then on beyond 2015, what would be the sustainable number of new stores to be opened per annum, in your opinion?
We would estimate 15 going forward. Obviously, as we've mentioned before, to try to mitigate the impact of store slippage, we've built up a very healthy pipeline. If we were to have the opportunity to open more than that, we would certainly avail ourselves of that.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of
Morgan Stanley. Hello. Hi. Hi, Mike. Hi, Richard. Thanks for hosting the call. I have two, three questions from my end. The first one is, you mentioned that the gross margin improvement on the merchandise can be an opportunity in 2014 as well. Can you probably talk a little bit more about that, on how you see the balance between the two, especially as you open more stores outside Java? The second question is if you can give us some update on the retail regulations that were proposed in December. Particularly, I'm interested in knowing if there's any further updates from the Trade Ministry on the private label part of the regulation, because I guess that's something that I didn't quite understand what's the spirit and logic behind that regulation and how that applies to you. And the last question I had was on the real estate part. You mentioned that, you know, higher interest rates could be one of the downside risks. How many of the stores in the pipeline that you can share with us or for which MOUs have been signed are from the Lippo Group? And maybe, you know, from the Lippo Group and any other major Chipotle kind of entity, so that we get some visibility, and how many are probably, you know, from more regional developers, because I guess that's where these slippages, the probability of the slippages are higher.
Well, I'm going to let Richard start out talking about the regulations and the stores, and then I'll follow up, Divya, with the gross margin question. Richard, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. You probably know the regulation has a number of gray areas that, you know, that require further clarification and as to, you know, how they'll be applied in practice. So, you know, it's premature at this stage to ascertain if there's going to be any material impact on our business. But we don't believe that's the case. One good example of this is the regulation on private label brands. And just to give you an update, the regulation states that modern stores are limited to selling no more than 15% of their own brand. However, you know, based on the results of a very recent meeting with APRINDO, which is the Association of Indonesian Retailers, the spirit of the regulation is actually to support and prioritize domestic products through SMEs, which are small and medium-sized enterprises. Now, as you know, our exclusive brands are primarily domestically sourced. And, you know, based on our consultations with APRINDO, who actually have been acting as the government's counterpart in developing the regulation, it has been confirmed that our exclusive brands, Nevada, Cole, Aero, Little M, etc., are not considered as, nor meant to be, the private label products as defined in the regulation. So, I mean, that's obviously very good news for us, and obviously means that, they are not covered by the regulation. So we feel that that's a very positive thing. The other key pieces of the regulation, one covers domestic sourcing, but as you know, 90%+ of our CP product is domestically sourced. And the other aspect on the regulation is the limit on the 150 owned stores. But as it relates to the 150 owned stores, you can have more than that if you are in partnership with SMEs. And partnership, still to be clarified, but, you know, perhaps would be a marketing partnership or a space allocation partnership, and essentially that's what we do in our stores today, where a significant number of our SME vendors obviously occupy space on the floor. So as we get more news, we'll let you know, but we don't believe that it will have any impact on our future growth plan.
With regard to the gross margin, we've seen an acceleration in our direct purchase business. It's come from, I think, if I could summarize it in three things. First is the merchandise strategies we put into place beginning 2 years ago to strengthen our merchandise and base it on a key item concept. But also, we're opening more stores outside of the major areas like Jakarta, where there's a little bit less affluent customers. And we have this incredible new group of entrants into the middle class who tend, when they first come in, to buy the lower price ranges in our group. So we think this is going to continue into first half of 2015 and can provide us some upside. In the past, we have mentioned that it really was pretty much neutral, whether we sold DP or CV on the bottom line. However, our efficiencies have grown substantially in our direct purchase product, in our sourcing, et cetera. And now it gives us a slight benefit selling our direct purchase product on the bottom line over our CD merchandise.
Got it. So is there any kind of like, you know, balance? Is there like a sweet spot that, you know, you wouldn't want it to go more than, I don't know, 40-60 in the medium term? Or because obviously there's a related inventory responsibility and risk. So I'm just wondering, in the medium term, how do you kind of balance this out? Is there some process behind that?
Frankly, remember, we got a very low risk model in the first place. But as I've tried to explain in the past, we really let the customer tell us what merchandise they want. We're in a very unique position. I think it's one of the reasons we've been able to generate such a consistent double-digit comp store sales increases over the last several years. And that is each individual store has an individual merchandise assortment based on what the market will bear and the income level of the consumer group. And obviously our direct purchase product is less expensive than our consignment merchandise. So we religiously evaluate every brand by store in terms of sales productivity and profitability per square meter. And then we make adjustments fairly rapidly, at least semi-annually, to our merchandise assortments to react to that. So as long as we continue to do that, it doesn't really matter to me what it ends up at on the bottom line. Okay?
Gotcha.
And finally, you had a question on the group stores in real estate. As you know, of the 9 stores that we opened in 2013, one was a group-related store. Of the 15 that we're planning in 2014, 7 are group stores. And included in the 15, we would be targeting 6 new cities over Indonesia. And as you're probably aware, right now we have 51 cities.
Got it. Can I just ask one last question? Can you give us some outlook on how you look at margins for the coming year? I know to give a guidance on same store sales, so that I'm trying to kind of put these two together. You mentioned that staff costs could rise by on a like-on-like basis by close to 16%, and assuming same store sales growth remains at about 10-12%, do you expect margins to remain more or less stable because of some of the GP-related tailwinds, or is that the correct way to look at it, or is this year also going to be a little bit of margin pressure? Just based on the staff cost growth that you've shared.
Okay. You're a little faint on the phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can actually hear you. Do you want me to repeat the question?
No, we got the question. But if we didn't, if we go adrift, please bring us back in, as you really laid it out toward the end of the conversation.
I think it's correct. I think the first way you were thinking of it. So I think one of the challenges, frankly, in 2013, as you know, was that very, very large increase in minimum wage. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it was, you know, it's close to 30%. Now, as we're going into 2014, with a minimum wage increase of 15.9%, which, you know, obviously is a little challenging, is nowhere near like the challenge that we had to face in 2013. We're actually planning in 2014 not to have additional pressure on our margins as it relates to payroll. Now, electricity, of course, which has been mentioned a couple of times, is definitely potentially a challenge for 2014. However, we are undertaking a number of initiatives to try to mitigate the impact of electricity cost increases. You know, Mike also mentioned earlier that, you know, we do see, I don't think we've really mentioned this before, or not publicly anyway, we are in a situation now where we do see upside opportunity in gross margin. You know, our DP margins have been particularly strong, and obviously that combined with the increased penetration in the business, you know, gives us a positive outlook, shall we say, on 2014.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Matthew from RHB.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. The first one regarding the seasonality going forward. We know that starting this year, Lebaran and also back to school is coming close together. So what is the impact for this overlapping peak season for the next 2 or 3 years for your company? And the second one is regarding the election year for this year. Do you expect any increase in sales regarding for the campaign and also the election this year? Thank you.
Yes, each year LeBaron, our holiday season for LeBaron selling period moves forward approximately 10 days. So you will see another 10 days of LeBaron move into second quarter from third quarter. So you'll have to anticipate that shift in the numbers, and we'll try to guide you through it, particularly as we get even closer at the end of first quarter. As far as the election year, we don't think that that's a negative. We think that it's really more on how many paydays are there to support the sales of the by the consumers. The second thing is the election year, and you know we really think that there will be a positive bounce. If you go back and look at previous elections like this, there is a sense of hope and euphoria after an election that things will even be better, and we think that that will have a positive impact on sales as it occurs.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Certainly.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of
Adrian. Hi, Mike and Richard. This
hey.
Is Adrian from UBS.
Oh, good.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you? So yeah, just a couple of few questions from me on the sales mix. I noticed that you continue to increase the direct purchase sales mix. Just trying to ask you, as you moved up to outer Java in terms of expansion, how would this affect your future sales mix? Because as I know that the lower disposable income will attract more private label sales in outer Java. So as a follow-up after the sales mix, and then the next question will be, what would be the outlook for your working capital days? Because it seems that in 2013, your working capital was got worsened by about 5 days year on year. And I would say the last question will be on the stores expansion for this year. You mentioned that you are targeting about 10 to 15 stores for this year. So, and about out of the 15, 7 are from the Lipo Group properties. I'm just trying to ask you because apart from, so how many stores out of the 7 will be from Lipo Karawaci and the others from the REITs business? Because I'm just trying to understand in terms of the visibility because as we know that the macro has been challenging and a lot of delays in terms of new commercial space launching by some other property developers. So, yeah, that's the question.
Okay. You want me to handle the DP? Let me start out with the DP. I think it would probably be a good assumption in your model to think that over the next couple of years, we're probably going to continue to grow our direct purchase as a percent of sales faster than we will our consignment business. We have some other things that we think will mitigate that somewhat, and the fact that Richard talked earlier about trying to expand our stores in some of the major urban areas, such as Jakarta, where we're doubling the size of the Atigati store. But I think it would be if I were running the model, I would assume that we will probably, over the next 2 to 3 years, see a bigger increase in our DP. If you look back in history for a number of years, I think it was 7 years, we were growing our CD bigger than the DP. So this kind of goes in cycles, and it's also dependent on where we open stores. With regard to, hang on, are you ready to talk about on the working capital?
Yeah, we don't see any significant change really in the working capital going forward. You know, as you mentioned, it did reduce by, 4 days from moving from 2012 to 2013. That was driven by additional direct purchase inventory that we put in place to support the business, and there's various factors surrounding that, which we can go into at another time. But, basically, as it relates to real estate, of the group properties in 2014, actually none of them are connected to Lumia or the REIT out of Singapore. So they're either MPPA properties or Lippo Karawaci.
Hello.
Hello. Did you hear us? Do you answer your question?
Yeah. So on the maybe just one more question from the same source sales group. Do you provide any guidance or color for this year?
Well, we think we've been pretty safe to just tell everybody consistently that we're confident over the next 3 years that we'll deliver double-digit same-store sales increases.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from a line. However, we don't have the caller's name recorded, but if you have asked a question, please go ahead. Your line is live in the call.
Hi, I'm not sure whether this would be me. This is Kurjin. I have quite a few questions, but I will just start off with three. First one is on EBITDA margin. So you're saying that the contraction in EBITDA margin is for 2013 was largely due to the increase in wages, is that right? And that going forward in 2014, we are going to have an upside in gross profit margin, but will that translate to increase in the EBITDA margin as well, or will there be other cost pressures that might make it flat or even drag it down? That's the first question. Second question is with regards to the pipeline of stores. I just wanted to ask for the 6 that was delayed in 2013, can we expect them in 2014? And for the 15 stores that we expect for 2014, will it be front-end or back-end loaded? And lastly, could you give us some guidance on the CAPEX for 2014 and 15?
Sure. Okay. Of the 6 stores that were delayed from 2013, 3 have been moved into 2014, and we have moved the other 3 into the pipeline for now. While we just better understand their ability to complete construction and get licenses. So that was the question on the pipeline. You were correct. When we talked about 2013, the drivers of the margin erosion, which in total were on EBITDA, basically 20 basis points, that was solely driven by the minimum wage pressure and also, more in the second half actually, by the continuing increase of the electricity tariff each quarter. So you are correct there. Now, as it relates to 2014, we are hoping to be able to, despite the fact that, minimum wage has obviously still gone up higher than our same-store sales expectations, we are still targeting not to lose any leverage on payroll during the coming year. So, Mike already mentioned that we do potentially see some upside in gross margin. Now, if we're able to, hold the line on our expenses, if we're able to pick up, 20 or so basis points on gross margin, then as it relates to EBITDA, we feel quite confident. Obviously, though, as you'll understand, mathematically, it's all based on what same-store sales growth we can deliver.
Great. Okay.
And sorry, I think you had another question, but I forget what it was.
Right. The last question was to get the CAPEX guidance for 2014.
Yeah, sure. In the OC, we basically, indicated that we expected CapEx to, kind of run, at about 2.9% of sales, somewhere in that region. So, we don't think that we're going to be too far off of that. We would anticipate, probably being somewhere between 2.5% and 3% in 2014. Depending, of course, on the number of stores that are open. That's really the key. New stores represent, about 50% of the total CapEx budget. So it is somewhat driven by that.
Right, got that. I have a few more other questions. One is relating to the, there was outstanding tax issue, right? Has that been resolved, or when will we know whether that would resolve.
Yeah, that's a good question. Basically, we're still awaiting the outcome from the tax department. Honestly, without any further information from them, we really can't comment further at this point.
Would that be, could you give me a number, like say that if it's not in your favor, what sort of provision, what amount of a provision do we have to make for that tax?
Like I said, we don't have visibility, into the results of their audit, and so we can't comment until we get additional information.
Okay. Just two other questions. One is on the logo. I understand that you guys share the common logo with the Putra. The logo is exactly the same, but to what extent can they use that logo? Can you use that logo to go into other businesses? I read in the prospectus that with the founder, you have allowed him to use it for several other businesses, food courts, theaters, whatever. But pertaining to the previous parent company, Putra, what is the arrangement for this, the rights to use of the logo?
I think that basically, what I'd recommend is if you go back to the offering circular, there's a whole long section on the logos, the trademarks, who's allowed to use the trademarks for what, et cetera, et cetera. So what I would suggest is if you're able to go back to that first, and then if that doesn't clear up your question, then please feel free to email us, and then we will clarify it for you.
Right, because what happened was that in that prospectus, it was mentioned that they were allowed to use the green, the old one, the green logo, but looking at the present logo, it is the red one that is similar to you guys. So I got a bit confused on that point.
It's a relatively lengthy explanation that is actually detailed in the OC. So could I suggest that you read that first, and then we can follow up if you have any further questions.
Will do. And my last question is pertaining to the distribution center. I just wanted to ask, in the case if someone were to try to replicate a distribution center of yours, how much CAPEX would it take and how much time would it take to establish such a logistic network?
Okay, so the first part of the question is that it wouldn't require very much CAPEX at all. In terms of time, I would say somewhere between 10 and 20 years. And the reason I say that is, it's not so much, building the facility. We have a 27,000 square meter facility. What it's about is it's building up your own operational infrastructure and, deciding which routes that you're going to use, owned and operated trucks, what size of trucks, are you going to set up hubs, how do you manage your 3PL providers to basically move goods all the way from Bandar Aceh in the west to Jayapura in the east. That's the complicated part, because you're developing relationships not just with road transport, but with also sea transport, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really why it takes a long time. And that, we believe, actually is one of our strengths, is that we've been able to fine-tune the ability of and improve the operations at the DC, even to the extent where a lot of our existing consignment vendors actually use us to distribute their product because we can do it more efficiently than their own local providers.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the questions.
No problem.
Thank you. Our final question comes from the line of...
Jim.
Hello. Hi.
Michael. Richard, this is June. I'm actually calling. I'm now currently quite near to your office. I'm in a tour.
Feel free to join us in the conference.
left it, but I don't want to give a no notice and then appear suddenly. I have a few questions. Number one, I am quite surprised to see, you know, in Q4, the average unit retail price up so much. What is the key reason behind?
Well, one of the things is we passed in Q4 some of the price increases onto our consumer. So that added an extra nudge to the out-the-door price, and we saw absolutely no resistance. So, and I think that bodes well as we go forward as well.
Okay. Sorry, I think I didn't get the full year, the ASP increase. What is that? The unit retail price?
Yeah, so for the full year through December 2013, the AUR increase was 5.4, and for Q4 it was 7.1. Yeah, and as you know, Mike mentioned, we were able to very easily pass on additional costs and take advantage of our customers' ability to go along with that retail without any loss of volume.
Okay. So may I know roughly the ticket size now, what is it now compared to year on year, compared to last year average ticket size?
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Give me a second.
1 second. Let's make sure we get the right number.
Oh, the ticket, oh, basket size.
Yeah.
So the increase in basket size in 2013 was plus 10.9%.
Plus 10.9%. Okay. Got it. Because the direct purchase merchandise is half of the average merchant average price for the direct purchase is half of that of consignment goods. So if the DP, I mean direct purchase, increasing, so how do you make sure that you know would your average selling price would be under pressure? The ticket size, basically, the basket size.
You know, it had no effect on it this year, and we had one of the most explosive increases in our direct purchase. We're actually, what you're doing is you're seeing that the average unit retail of the consignment merchandise is also going up as the consignment vendors are passing through, some of their cost increases to the consumer. So it's really going up at the same rate as our other. And remember that the DP only represents approximately 30% of our business. So still 70% of our business approximately is done at the consignment level.
Okay, got it. I have two more questions. Number one is the same-store sales growth outside Java. You mentioned about the cannibalization due to store expansion. So when would you see such cannibalization, would be eased?
Basically, it would be 12 months later.
Okay. So there is no other reason, you know, economic growth reason outside Java that is actually pressuring same-store sales growth? It's purely cannibalization?
That's really what we're seeing. One of the things, though, is that, you know, Central Java has been particularly strong. I mean, you know, you can see the Q4 SSG was 17%. So it's not always about a certain area being weaker. It's sometimes about other areas being stronger.
Okay. My last question would be your lease expire, the lease due for renewal. How many percent of your, or you can give us an update about, you know, how many stores are now still under fixed rent and how many percent is under turnover. And, you know, in 2014, how many percent of your leases are expected to be renewal?
So, big picture in terms of length of lease expiry, and you may recall, I think we provided a schedule at the OC. But right now, we have a very, very strong retail portfolio, as we've always had. In fact, the 6 to 10 years is now 18%, and the over 10 years is 59%. So, you know, you can see we have a very, very strong profile. Of the stores that are coming up in 2014 and 2015, We are intending to renew all of the leases, and we don't anticipate any challenges. You know, it's an ongoing process. I mean, we're continually in the lease renegotiation stage, as any other retailer would be.
Okay. So just lastly, just to confirm, the MOU that signed for this year's, out of the 15 stores, it's still just 9 out of the 15 are, the MOU are signed. Am I right?
Let us confirm that number just a moment.
Yeah, so in terms of the 2014 stores, 8 actually have signed MOUs. We're just about to finish another one. And we expect the others to follow shortly after. I think in terms of any other information, we have, 2 of the locations are totally ready to go. And those will both be opening in Q2.
Okay.
So the balance of the stores are going to be more in the second half.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have no further questions in the queue at this time. I would like to thank Michael and Richard for their presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect. This concludes the call for today. Thank you for joining, and have a very good day.